Supervisors, please take your seats. It is 6 o'clock and I will call the meeting to order. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you are here, please check in on the computer. And while you're doing this, I have a note here from Jeff Blesky who says, just a reminder that on Monday, January 24th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, the WCA is sponsoring County Redistricting in Focus. He says he doesn't have enough in the budget to attend. The cost is $65. But some county board members, especially those who are on the redistricting committee but not necessarily having to be on the redistricting committee, if you are interested, cost of $65, we will pay for it. It won't come out of Jeff's. It'll come out of the county board budget. So if you're interested in going to County Redistricting in Focus, sponsored by the WCA, that is Monday, January 24th, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Where is that? Yep, Stevens Point. Yeah, he forgot to say the city. So, yeah, Stevens Point sounds right. All right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don still needs to check in? Jerry, did you have a...
Yeah, you're saying that the county is not going to pay the expenses for Jeff?
No, we are.
We are.
That'll come out of his department's budget, but any county board members that want to go, it'll come out of our budget. Yeah, I think it's more appropriate to do it that way. We try to do all our travel through our own budget here so we can monitor it better.
How about what?
Well, what we try to do is when people do the sign-up, they do it through either Margaret or Terry, and they try to push people to do that, saying, hey, did you know that so-and-so is going? So, yeah, I would certainly always encourage that type of thing. All right. We got everybody? How many? We have 24 present. A lot of people for some reason missing, but that is a quorum, and we're to the County Board Chair's report, Supervisor Conference reports. Anybody have any that we should hear? Seeing that, let's go on to the next item, which is Administrator's Report. Mr. O.
Yes, I have a proclamation, Highway Safety and Transportation Month, where staff works so diligently to build safe roads for the residents of La Crosse County and visitors to travel upon, and whereas maintenance such as snow plowing, salting, grading shoulders, mowing, repairing, sealing, sweeping, and paving roads, and many other duties that keep La Crosse County highways clean and safe, and whereas the safety of all traveling persons is ensured by the hardworking men and women of the Highway Department, now therefore be it resolved, La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of January 2011 as La Crosse County Highway Safety Month and urges all residents to join in recognizing the valuable contribution of persons dedicated to ensuring safe roads for La Crosse County residents and visitors.
Moved by Jerry Sobranek, seconded by Vicki Burke. Most of our highway committee people are public works people are gone. They're at the highway conference right now, I think, if I'm correct. So all in favor of the resolution, say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
One other quick item, if I might, just to highlight, just this last week was the passing of an era. Denny Osgood retired from 39 years with us. I know many of us wished him well, and it's quite an amazing career to serve a community for 39 years. So if you do have a chance, pass on your good wishes to him if you see him. I know he isn't checking in again anymore. He's decided we're in the rearview mirror as he's going off to retirement, but it's kind of coincidental that this is Highway Transportation Month at the same time that we're going to enter a new era. We will continue to keep the entire county board, but also, of course, the committee up to date on the hiring process, and you're welcome to sit in on those interviews, but the interviews will happen with the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee because we want to make sure that they're a part of making the final recommendation that whose name will be brought to you for that appointment. The other short announcement that I want to make is Maureen mentioned to me, and we have copies of this, that La Crosse County is one of several organizations sponsoring again this year recognition and acknowledgement of Martin Luther King Day. We have a number of posters. Maureen's been serving on behalf of the county on the committee, putting this work together. We'll have these up in the building as well. But if you'd like to participate, Monday, January 17th, obviously is Martin Luther King Day at 7 o'clock p.m. at Western Technical College in Lundis Center. There is a free community event going on with a dynamic speaker that has been selected by the group. I don't know, Maureen, you have more to add? You've been going to all the meetings on our behalf. And
I'll just add that the speaker is the Reverend Eugene Cohen from one of the inner city churches in Milwaukee, and I think it's going to be really interesting. And there's a contest among high school students about writing about their vision for a peaceful and united community. And the sponsors are really pretty diverse. It's the city of La Crosse, both medical facilities, Viterbo, Seven Rivers Region, Diversity Collaborative Initiative, and some others. And it's really going to, this is a fun event. This is a nice, rousing, fun event every year. So, and I've got extra posters. If anybody could put one in their workplace, that would be really appreciated. Thanks.
County's closed next Monday, right?
Yeah.
That's correct. It's one of our holidays.
So people do decide to go to that. You can park out here, the county board chair spot, plus the rest of them there. They don't ticket on.
That's right.
Days were closed, right? So parking is not great over there, so feel welcome to park here. Ray Ebert.
Yes, I went a couple of years ago when Keith Belzer did it, and it was tremendous and it's really a neat program. So
yeah.
Encourage
he's,
folks.
He's good, too. Anybody else? Okay. Keep going.
The next item we've got is actually the meat of the agenda, or the most significant presentation. This was at the request of board members that would like to hear more about the solid waste assessment. There has been a public presentation on this. Hank, if you want to come in as I'm trying to introduce you. The detailed solid waste assessment, if you didn't notice, is out on the solid waste website if you want the entire comprehensive document. It's also been presented, as I understand it, to both city councils already, and we had an open public presentation. A number of board members were there during our public open house. A number of community members. It was well attended. So there have been a lot of public information out there, but I know some board members wanted to hear the entire information here, so we'll just turn it over to Hank. Enough about me.
Well, thank you. The solid waste evaluation has been obviously in front of us for about a year. It's been very interesting, and I'm going to share with you where we are. And there's a very important event that's about to happen with the solid waste evaluation that I'm going to explain to you tonight. If I can start with the first slide, this is about how we can improve the efficiency of collection and recycling within La Crosse County. And we focused on the two biggest municipalities that produce the majority of our waste, rather than on everybody in the county. One of the first questions you're probably thinking, what stimulated this study? Who asked for it? Well, back in the early 2000, in that part of the decade, there were a lot of questions being asked by the municipalities at client seminars about what are we going to do about collection services in the future? How can we improve those? And so some questions were asked. There was an ongoing discussion that the city of La Crosse was having with our consultant, Foth, at the time. And they were looking at doing the study themselves at that time. In 2008, we adopted, of course, our updated solid waste plan, and there was a lot of information in there that one of our challenges in the future, beyond just the county solid waste system, is how do we manage and improve collection and recycling services. In 2009, the sustainability plan was adopted, and there were specific recommendations in that sustainability plan that focused on solid waste management. And one of those recommendations said that we should be looking at an assessment of solid waste services and how we can improve those services, enhance the amount of recycling we're doing, amongst a number of other things. The other big event that occurred in 2009 was the tremendous increase on landfill fees that the DNR imposed upon us. Our fees at that time were $6.90. They imposed a $7 increase, taking that to roughly almost $14. And during 2009, Steve O'Malley and Steve Doyle had meetings with the Solid Waste Department and the City of La Crosse and the City of Onalaska, because they're two of our biggest customers there. And we talked about how this fee increase was going to be handled and what we were going to do to modify that increase so that the full impact wasn't felt by our community. During those discussions, this topic came up by the planners and director of public works in both cities. What can we do about recycling and improving garbage collection? So that was in 2009. And the mayors and Steve Doyle gave us direction to the directors of public works and myself and said, develop a scope of services, work together, let's see if we can do this study as a joint effort with the municipalities. So that kind of moved it forward. There was another interesting thing happening. The City of La Crosse and the City of Onalaska were faced with a deadline that in 2013 they have to make a decision as to who is going to be their provider for garbage collection services. They might look at that and say, well, my gosh, Hank, that's 2-3 years away. Why are you worried about that? Well, the bidding process takes almost a year. And if you change equipment, it takes 9 months to get that equipment. So there's a period of over almost 2 years where you have to have all your decisions made ahead of that time. So the two director of public works from the two cities told the county, if we're going to do this study, you need to complete it in 2010. Otherwise, we won't have enough time to make the decisions that we need. So those were some of the driving forces that started this study. Now, the study has been completed. The final draft was presented at the Solid Waste Department open house on September 17th. Everybody was invited to that. County Board Supervisors, Public Works Infrastructure Committee, Policy Board, and all municipal officials were given an invite to attend that. When we had the draft study, we put it on the website so that it was available to everybody. We then, at that meeting, we got some very good input back, and we changed a couple things in the solid waste study based on the comments we received at that open house. And then as it was finalized, the City of Onalaska asked us to present it to the Department of Public, their Committee of Public Works. And so we went to the City of Onalaska, went through the study with them. The City of La Crosse also invited us to a council meeting, so we had a chance to present the study to there. The county, through the Solid Waste Department, we scheduled our own public meeting and put out some notices and that. Had a number of people attend that. We also, as you probably saw, got fairly good coverage in the newspapers and on the TV stations during towards the end of the study, some of the findings, a lot of little clips on it and other things. As I mentioned, you can go onto the County View site, go to Solid Waste Department, and right on the front page is the Solid Waste Study. You can click on it, you can read it there, or you can print out sections if you want it. It is a fairly large document, and that's why I have not disseminated it to everybody at this time. We also did a number of newsletters, and we did a number of letters to municipal people to keep them appraised of what we were doing and the information that was in there. This was the open house on the 17th. You can see this was the presentation in progress back there, and we had county board supervisors there, committee people, we had municipal officials. A lot of the haulers were also present and were actively engaged in providing comments to that. Now, it's interesting, I made a presentation to Viterbo College on solid waste, and students were very enthusiastic about the study, very interested in it, and were asking a lot of questions about recycling and disposal and other things. And so I asked them a question. I said, well, what are you all studying? And, you know, some said biology, environmental sciences, climatology, all different things. Nobody was studying, you know, engineering and some of the things that I do. And one person said, I want to be a garbage collector. And I said, really? Why is that? And he said, well, they only work on Tuesdays. What were the goals and objectives of the study? The first thing was to inform area policymakers about potential future options that they have. What are the changes that are occurring, and what options could they elect for their communities? What options will improve service? What options will be more sustainable in the long run? What options will save cost? What options are more easy to administrate? We wanted to provide descriptions of those options, not only in garbage collection, but in recycling and other things. We wanted to show them what the pros and cons were, but not give them a recommendation. That's their job, to make a decision for their community. What is the best program for their community? We also wanted to look at funding options. You'll see that the vast majority of the way our systems are funded here is on the tax levy. I live up in the village of Holman, and I'm different. We get it on a utility bill, and I have a certain charge, and I can look right at it. And I know exactly what I'm paying for my garbage service. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, because that's in an area of great inequities in our system, and that we pointed out to the municipal people, that they have to look at these inequities and make decisions as to how they perhaps want to change their system. We also kept our focus on residential collection. The way business does it is different. Their wastes are different in that, so we kept our focus on residential collection. Now, if you look at the big report, you'll find that it's divided into about 7 major sections. The first thing is you have to look at your existing system and describe it before you talk about changing it. So there's a nice section that describes it. I learned things out of that description I didn't know about how we handle garbage in La Crosse County. So it's always good to do that. Then we looked at trends. What are the trends in the Midwest on a national basis? There are 2 significant trends that are occurring. We're going to talk about those tonight. And then, of course, you always like to compare yourself or benchmark yourself. So in the study, we benchmarked the city of Onalaska and La Crosse against cities like Janesville and other comparable cities to see how we compared in some of the collection costs or some of the recycling efficiencies and things of this nature. Now, we looked at a hard topic called carbon footprint. And will these changes enhance our carbon footprint? This is an important sustainability concept in the long run. And so that's in the study. We looked at the different technology and the options for the collection systems. And then we got into a very important area, funding. How do you pay for this as municipal governments? How do we pay for these things? And what's the most equitable way? What's the most convenient way? What's the most non-controversial way? And those things are talked about. And then with the last big area we looked at was governance. How do we govern these systems? Right now, every municipality governs their own system, and so we have 18 uncoordinated, fragmented programs working in the county. That's not as efficient as if some groups would go together. So let me jump into the study. Now, I am not going to go through all the information on all these slides. I'm just going to give you highlights of a lot of this. The first thing we looked at was the existing system, as I mentioned. And what we found is we're pretty typical. It's being done by city, villages, townships. Each one is doing their own area. There isn't coordination of systems at this point. The county is only involved in the collection of household hazardous materials, and we have a drop-off site at the site. So we don't have garbage trucks. We're not going out and doing this and collecting it. And we found that our system is kind of an old system. It's a manual system that uses rear load trucks. And this is what a rear load truck looks like. The garbage is placed in this back hopper over here. The driver is up. He has to get out. He has to go out to the curb, pick it up, throw it into the hopper. They're not as efficient. They're more prone to injuries for the workers. And that's a manual system. That doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means that's the state of it, and that's what we have. We looked at the fact that the majority of our municipalities fund their solid waste programs through property taxes, and I'll talk about that. For the city of La Crosse, that's roughly about $1.9 million a year. For the city of Onalaska, that's around $900,000. So to give you an order of magnitude, what their costs are. When you get to recycling, what we found is kind of similar thing. Each municipality is doing their own program with recycling. They're not coordinated. They have different rules. It's confusing to some people. They're duplicating efforts on some areas. They're coordinating some efforts, like in education, etc. Grant funding that we get from the state probably only covers a third of what our recycling program costs are. And so lack of economy of scale and not having good grants for this perhaps limits the recycling program a little bit.
Bill Feehan, do you have a question?
Sure. The Wisconsin DNR charges a fee to all landfills when you dispose of waste. They collect that fee and they put it into a fund. Some of that money gets diverted. I'm not going to go into that. But they will take that money then, and the recycling department of DNR will then award grants to communities to help them with recycling programs. So, for example, in La Crosse County, if we have 18 municipalities, all 18 of them are going to have to apply for grants. A lot of this work, because these programs are well established, a lot of these people are just simply saying, this is what we did in the last year, we're going to continue it. This covers our newsletters, this covers our flyers. Sometimes you have people that say, well, we're going to do something new here, we're going to recycle these types of bottles or something. And they'll make a proposal and they'll ask for a little bit more money to do something like that. Well-established program based on pretty much what people are doing. Don't know how it's going to survive in the future with what's going to occur with the budgets and other things for that program.
Tara Johnson.
I'm sorry, will you just clarify, are the bullet points on this slide for collection and recycling combined costs? Or on that, the previous one, the $1.9 million for the city of La Crosse?
I believe it was for just disposal and collection, and okay. I think recycling had a separate cost. I'd have to check on that.
Okay,
look at the
but
report.
The
I'm
grant
not sure.
funding is only, there are only grants available for recycling?
Correct.
Thank you.
During the study, we saw that as we were preparing the study, there was a tremendous amount of pressure to change. I think you've all followed how the city of La Crosse changed and added plastics to their recycling program. And so that occurred right while we were doing the study. The city of Onalaska, as we were getting near the completion of the study, was toying with whether they were going to cut off bulky waste collection, whether they were going to cut off collecting materials for composting and other things, leaves, etc. Tremendous uproar, and they said, we're just thinking about this. We're going to take a look at what the study does. So out in the community, there's a desire for a change, but it's not a well-known desire. Do we want better service? Do we want more cheaper costs? It's not clear at this point. So let's jump into what are the two big trends that are occurring on a nationwide basis, very clear trends. They're undeniable trends. The first one is we're switching from manual collection systems to automated systems, more efficient systems, safer systems, if you will, neater systems, but they are sometimes more expensive systems, and they require a longer time to pay their investment back. The other very clear trend we're seeing is single stream recycling. Most of you have dual stream recycling where you put a bin out and in it you have bottles, cans, and rigid things, And then you have perhaps a bag or another bin where you have cardboard, newspaper, or other things. That's a dual stream. A single stream, you have one container, and everything you're going to recycle, you put into it. Okay, and I'm going to explain those two systems here. But those were two clear trends that we've seen. So let's talk about the automated collection. Very different than that other truck you see. There's a robotic arm. It reaches out. It picks up a cart. It dumps it into a hopper here, and the guy doesn't get out of the cab. Some of these trucks have arms on both sides. When they go down on alley, they can pick both sides. Sometimes the driver has two steering wheels, so he can sit on either side, whatever's convenient. The real interesting trend that we saw, very clear, is that the workman's compensation for haulers and people in the solid waste workplace is very high. Systems like this greatly reduce injuries, and that saves significant money. And a lot of the haulers are increasing their profitability by actually having a safer operation for their employees. The carts come in different sizes. I'll show you a little of that. They have wheels on. You wheel them to the curb. And that's an automated system, a cart and a truck that has this. Here's a cart. This happens to be a fairly large one, around 90 gallons. They're very easy to move around. Some people have systems like this. Our consultant who did this study has this system. My wife's mother in Madison got this system. She loves it, and it's, so it's around. You will find these systems around. There's a lot of pros and cons. I'm not going to go into them. You'll see some of the big issues are that it's safer, but some of the negative issues are there's some higher costs. And so you got to figure out ways to manage those two things. But here's a picture we...
Bill Billings.
Is it con that you also lose jobs with the automated system?
You do in air in cities that had the very old system where they had a rear loader municipally run and they had like two or three people in the truck. If they switch to an automated system, there are some people that they're most likely going to put in other jobs or they're going to lose. In our area, that's not as common because we've gone to the private practice. The private practice has already eliminated the extra people from the rear load trucks, and they're running pretty darn efficient. And so it won't be easy to make an argument that just going to automated system will create a lot more efficiency in our area, nor can you make an argument against it saying that it will result in a lot of people being laid off. Neither one of those arguments in our area won't apply here.
Bill Feehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is, you mentioned the significant increase in capital investment for these types of systems, and will that impact the length of contracts that we have to sign with the haulers? It seems that, they have equipment now that they'll have to find a home for, and they're going to be making substantial investments. So what do these private companies have to say about how this is going to impact their business?
You hit right on one of the comments from some of the haulers saying, what's the duration of a contract? If a contract is 2 or 3 years, I cannot invest in a truck like that, nor can we buy $500,000 worth of carts. And so there will have to, and that's discussed in the report, there will have to be a discussion with the municipalities about what is the term for the contract so that, if the city buys the carts, do they have enough time to pay for those carts? If they make the hauler buy the carts, then typically they are given to the city through the people. You have to have enough time to pay for those things. I can't give you a straight answer as to what that number is. It'll depend upon if both Onalaska and the city of La Crosse go together and they say, look, we're going to do it the same. Well, then the hauler can say, this is going to be easier on me because I can gear up for both cities. If the city of Onalaska and La Crosse go two different ways, then it's going to be harder on the haulers to match that because of economy of scale and stuff.
Would it be fair to say that we would probably have to increase the length of the contracts, and that the that there is going to be added cost into upgrading, if you want to call it that, these systems? So it seems to me that as a businessman, you're going to need a longer contract.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that. I think that while the capital cost may improve, I think over the duration of the contract, you're going to see some cost savings, though. You're going to see cost savings and lower rates because they're not paying the high workman compensation claims, that he's going to pass that on. He's going to be more efficient. He can use now the same truck for recycling collection, and he can use it also for garbage collection. And so hopefully he'll come back and he'll say, I'll be more efficient in my rates. My capital cost will be higher.
I'm curious about that. Over Christmas vacation, I, too, was visiting my mother, and they have this system. But they have separate trucks. They have a truck for garbage collection, and they have a truck for the recycling. So, I mean, that's not too different from the way they do it in the city of La Crosse now. We have the two trucks. But so this is something new, the fact that there might just be one truck?
Some communities have said that they have three or four automated trucks out, and when they do recycling, which they do every 2 weeks because of the larger carts instead of every week, they were able to take one of the garbage trucks and put it on a collection route. Now, that's with single stream because everything gets dumped together. Now, whether or not the cities would want to do that, they're going to have to look at that. Here's a picture we took in an alleyway in the city of La Crosse, and this is typical. You have garbage cans. A lot of them don't have lids on. You do have some rodent problems with this. You do have some blowing litter. It's not aesthetically particularly pleasing. This is an automated system, and on this day, the yellow container is collecting recyclables, and the all-green container on the right-hand side is the garbage container. So the homeowner literally grabs both carts and he rolls them down the drive, puts them there. The lids stay on them real nice. You don't have blowing litter. You don't have the rodent problems, etc. But there are costs to the carts and things of this nature. And this isn't something new. The city of La Crosse has looked at carts in the past and for various reasons chose not to do that. What we're simply saying is that this trend continues. And perhaps some of the problems the city saw have been resolved by some communities, so it warrants another look.
Hank, what's the lifespan of those carts?
I have heard around 10 years.
Really?
And it depends upon perhaps in a university community, there might be certain antics going on with the carts that shorten their lifespan. In another area, you know, they're in the garage, they're nice. Their longevity is pretty good.
Thank you.
They are longer than our garbage cans. Our garbage cans take a beating because when you lift a garbage can into a rear load container, the way they empty it is they go bang on the side of that container. When the robotic arm picks this up, it lifts it up and it just dumps it and it just falls out. So right there's less abuse to the containers. Second big trend here is the single stream recycling. And I think you now have a concept in your head. You put all of your recyclables in one container. Now, I watched this at my own house, and I should know better, and my wife should know better. But what happens when our 18-gallon container gets filled with recyclables? They go in the trash. And, you know, I should get a second container, and I know that's what humans do. And the single stream recycling, when you have these larger carts, they get more recycling. People say, gee, I got a lot more room in my cart. They put it in there. It's a simple thing, concept. You do need a special processing facility, which we do not have in our area for this, that will take this material and separate it. Here's a large facility, but it takes all the material in. It has to be then separated. And there's pros and cons to this. When you bring all your material to one facility like this, you're going to get better prices. You can do better marketing, better economy of scale. But when you combine all your garbage together, or all your recyclables together like this, you are going to get some cross-contamination, and some of your material is going to be lost in the process. And again, those pros and cons of single stream were laid out there. To give you an example, Outagamie County put up a $10 million single stream processing facility that serves Brown, Winnebago, and Outagamie County. It can be that large. It can be as small as Portage County or Marathon County having small facilities, or even Adams County has their own facility for this. So it can be tailored to the community.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hank, how does the City of Onalaska sort their garbage? Because they told us, I'm a resident of the City of Onalaska, they told us not to put bags and separate our recyclables in the bin, just to throw them in the bin. They don't want bags of stuff. They just want them all together.
Can I hold that question for just a few seconds? I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to answer it when I get to our benchmark study when we compared ourselves to some other communities. And you're going to see immediately that we're not doing a good job of separating. Before I get to there, though, how do we compare to other communities? And so we compared to the two cities here to other Wisconsin cities. They're listed. But the other thing we also did is we looked at other communities that were collaborating or had inter-community agreements where they're working together on collection, working together on recycling. How did they do that? What was the success of their program? So we looked at both things. And this will get back to Jim's question then fairly quickly. If you look at our solid waste costs, we're running in that 378, 376 in the two cities area on per month, per household basis. Most other communities we compared with were over $4.50. Okay, and so why would we be cheaper? Because we're a public solid waste system. Public solid waste systems have cheaper collection costs because they promote competition. When you look at some of these other cities, you'll find that there's one hauler and they've locked up the city and there is no competition on pricing. In the recycling area, you'll look at it and you'll say, boy, this looks like good news. We're really cheap on our recycling. No, I'm afraid this is good and bad news here. That while our recycling costs are less, if you go down to the next bottom of the slide, our recycling performance is not good. When we looked at the other cities in that, they're recycling almost 40 pounds per month per household. We are between 11 and 13. So, Jim, you're right. When we put this in our bins, we're putting the most select recyclable materials, and we might not be putting it in there correctly. Sometimes the homeowner says, this is too hard, goes into the garbage container. And I'm also going to show you a point, another reason we're doing that, there's no incentive to recycle. There's no penalty. If you just throw everything in your garbage can, there's no penalty to you as a homeowner. The other way you look at the recycling rate, too, is that most other communities of the waste they're producing, you know, almost a quarter of it they're recycling. We're down at that kind of little less than 10%. Now, does that mean we're not as good as these other communities? No. It means that a lot of our paper and other things that they are recycling, we're burning for energy. And I don't want to say that that's worse or better, except I can say this. In the hierarchy of waste management, solid waste management, recycling is better than waste energy. So if somebody looked at this and said, would we be better off doing more recycling? The answer is yes, according to the hierarchy. The answer is yes, according to the carbon footprint. And all these other things. But we are not bad because this material is not going into a landfill and simply rotting. We looked at some examples of coordinated collection, and one a good example not far from us is Clark County. A lot of good agreements under which you can work. They brought 12 communities together and they bid out their services as a group. And they got very good prices on their garbage and recycling, very cost effective. compared to when they were bidding these projects separately and they had unorganized, uncollaborative effort. Portage County is an example where the county is the responsible recycling unit. They're handling the recycling for the whole county, all the municipalities. What they do is they apply for a master grant and then they disperse it to the individual municipalities. They coordinate the programs. They make them more efficient through that coordination and economy of scale. They also get into garbage collection and transport. Adams County is into garbage collection and transport. There's a couple other counties that are into that for various reasons. We looked at Southern Trempealeau County. Now, they're a stakeholder in our system. They've been part of our system. And they were the first intergovernmental agreement in Wisconsin. And they brought seven members together. And they said one size doesn't fit all in our group. And they actually had different programs within their members. And they were able to structure it that way. They were able to then go out and bid it, get competitive bids, save money that way, and then coordinate their program through that. Now, they use an interesting system. They use a bag system. So you have to buy a garbage bag. You prepay for that bag. That garbage bag pays for the cost of disposal in their system. I'm going to get into that because that is a system different than on the tax levy, and it's a user-based system. So if Jim at his house puts out eight bags, he paid for eight bags. If I at my house put out three bags, I paid for three bags, and suddenly this becomes pay as you throw. You throw more, you pay more. And it's not based on, well, I have a house that's worth $500,000, I paid this on property tax. You had a trailer home worth $50,000, and your garbage pile is four times mine, yet I'm paying much more than you to fund this. It's not just in Wisconsin. This is everywhere. It's not just small communities that get together. The Metro Waste Authority in Des Moines, that's a very large community. And they have a long history of coordinating recycling, collections, and other things. Their community said, we want single stream, so they came back to the authority in Des Moines and said, arrange this for us, take it out, bid this for us, handle this, coordinate these things for us. So that's how people collaborate. Now I'm going to switch to this carbon footprint that you hear so much about. I have a daughter right now down in Antarctica, and she's doing her PhD on geology, and she tells me things about how pristine the air is and how different and how the ice is melting and things of that nature. Global warming's here. This change is occurring. And it is very important that we start looking at greenhouse gas emissions. We're under regulations at the landfill in reporting the greenhouse gas emissions, the carbon dioxide and methane. We have to control it and do all sorts of things. So this isn't coming. It's here. It's being handled. Now, the EPA developed a model. They call it the WARM model. It's the Waste Analysis and Recovery Model or something like that. And what it does, it's a very sophisticated big model that we couldn't afford a consultant to develop. But they did it at the federal government, and they look at everything. They look at the amount of energy to manufacture something, the amount of energy to transport it for recycling. They look at recycling versus disposal and the greenhouse gases you produce with disposal versus recycling versus having virgin products mined and stuff. And it takes into all these things. And so we asked our consultant to apply that model to our community here to see if we enhanced recycling, would it have a beneficial impact from a greenhouse gas standpoint? What they first did is they developed the baseline estimate for the two cities. And we didn't take just generic numbers. We said, we think we're doing a better job than other people, so we want our own baseline here. They established it. And then we said, let's expand recycling, more materials, better capture rates, so that we approach what other communities were doing. And they put all this information in, they figured it all out, and they said, well, you'll have 6,989 fewer metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalents. And I said, well, what does that mean to us? And they said, it's like taking 1,280 cars off your road in a year. That I can relate to. I can picture not having 1,000 cars producing carbon dioxide gases on that. So this is very significant. This has to be looked at. And even though we're going to look at, you know, costs and things, the environmental people, the sustainability people, have to look very hard at this part of the report, and they have to voice their opinions about the future, the long-term future for our community, and how we're going to affect greenhouse gases. Now, we moved on to system approaches in here. And there's municipal collection. This is where the city owns the trucks and hires the drivers, and they go out and do this. There are municipal contracts. That's what Onalaska and the city of La Crosse currently have. They have a contract with Harder's Quick Cleanup. There are open systems. This is where a city goes like this. I can't stand this anymore. You as a citizen, here are 7 haulers. You contract with them. They'll bill you. We're not going to be involved in this. And if you got a complaint, you call them. And so you as a citizen on the street, you look out your window on Tuesday when garbage is to be collected, you'll see 6 different trucks go down the street because Joe's Sanitation's got your neighbor and Mike's Sanitation has got your other neighbor and Tim's Sanitation has got you and somebody else has got recycling, and so it's a mixture. Not a great system. But St. Paul in Minnesota has this system. And so, you know, what I'm not telling you is things are right or wrong. What I'm telling you is that there's some interesting things out there and how you can affect them. Now, you can also have coordinated collection. That's what I described in Clark County, where they said, let's all go together. Let's bid this together. Let's have a coordinated system. It could be like Southern Trempealeau County, where they said, let's all go together, but I know you want a service different than what you want, and we'll put that in our package, and we'll bid it that way. It is feasible, then, that the city of Onalaska and the city of La Crosse could go together, and they could say, let's have one contract together on these services. Now, you don't want to go too far on that. You don't want to have all the municipalities come back to the county board and say, you handle all the garbage collector and pick one contractor. What would that do to us? No competition. Without competition, we don't get the good prices. So that wouldn't be good either. So you got to find a balance in these systems, and it's not all to the farthest end.
Bill Feehan.
I'm glad you brought up competition because that's a note that I made here. And how have other government bodies dealt with the issue of maintaining? You have to have multiple haulers to maintain competition. So it seems like there's got to be some kind of a trade-off between how large of an area you allow local governments to band together before you're going to eliminate all the competition. So can you give us an example of how that works somewhere else?
Let me do some comparisons. Clark County, 12 communities, basically 12 townships area-wide. You can imagine how big that was. Is that too big of an area to have one hauler? No, because they didn't have a lot of garbage. And the services they were asking for were pretty straightforward. When you get into the city of La Crosse, you could think of it as the city of La Crosse as the boundary, but you might be more effective as thinking about where the river is or where the interstate is or other things. And so in that case, you may want to look at areas geographically and say, where is collection that automated will work and where will it not work? And you might go into the area. So right in the city of La Crosse, they might divide their contract and say, we want automated here, but we want a different type of service here. Those decisions we think are best made by the Director of Public Works for his community. Now, you can go to that other extreme. You could have all the municipalities approach La Crosse County and say, handle our garbage collection. Guys, I don't have any hair left. I couldn't do that. But if they said that to you, and if you said, yes, we're going to do that, we don't have to hire one contractor. We can look at the municipal areas and say, look, we think three or four contractors would be the best. And that if you can't win a contract in all four areas, that, you know, you can, if you're the highest in one area, then we're going to give preference, or you're the lowest in one area, we're going to give preference to another contractor, and you can manage your competition that way. And some communities have done that. So lots of alternatives here to manage that competition.
Hank, you're kind of addressing the topic, but, you know, when I have talked to some people on this issue, kind of the naysayers are saying, oh, you know, this is just a power play, a ploy on the part of the county. They really want to do this, you know, and take over this whole thing and expand their vast, whatever it may be, fiefdom or whatever. What is your response on that?
I don't have any hair left. You know, our study was really focused on the metropolitan area. We did not study the rural areas. So this study doesn't provide the information that would answer those areas or answer questions in those areas. I guess if asked, would we serve? That would be your decision. I personally think that the city and the private practice are doing a very good job. Our job was to provide them information and guidance so that they continue to make good decisions. But we want to still do it collaboratively because the decisions they make, we want that waste coming to us. So in the study, you can go through and find all the different sections on the pros and cons for each of these systems. And I'm not going to take the time to go through the pros and cons. But again, this is how the study was laid out, is to show you that there are good and bad things about every alternative. The municipal leaders now have to look at this and say, well, we select this option because these things align best with our community versus something else.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. This is the big challenge. I suppose it's for Onalaska too, but certainly for the city of La Crosse, is, like you say, you've laid out the alternatives. And how do you get people who are to varying degrees educated about the importance of the issues, and some of whom have no interest in studying it in depth? How? Yeah, I'll be the one that'll have no hair. But how do we go through the process in order? I mean, these are good alternatives, and it's there for options. But how do we get to the stage of making good decisions?
That's a question I don't know. My short time in governmental service is such that I'm struggling with that myself, is how do I inform you of things we're doing and options that we have to take? I think that's a universal problem that you, as municipal leaders, are faced with. I have some hints for you, though. The very first one is you got to draw attention to it, and we have done that. Now, my meetings with the mayor were not intended to draw attention to this. That was something different. But we have drawn attention to it. We've made it public. We've got it out there. We've done those things. The next step in this process, I believe, and I just heard from the city of Onalaska yesterday morning, is that they want to work with the city of La Crosse. They want to create an ad hoc advisory implementation team. That was a suggestion that came out of the Sustainability Commission, a very good one. That ad hoc committee will draw more public attention to this. That, you know, they'll have meetings where they're debating it. And if they do that in a fashion where they invite the public in and they hold some forums to discuss that, and particularly invite businesses in, haulers, environmentalists, and these other groups, I think that'll help the process. I have a hunch that this process is going to be governed by those who speak the loudest. And so if everybody says we got to have bare cut costs, we can't afford these capital, then we're going to have this type of system. if we have other people that say this is the long term and this is what we need for our community and this is the investment, then I think things will go in that direction. We have tried to bring it to a very public stage at this point. And what we're getting ready to do, this gets me ahead in the presentation, but we're ready to do this with our study. Here is the baton. We, the county, have taken it this far with our leadership and have brought the study to you. And now what we're doing is we're putting the baton out to the city of Onalaska and La Crosse. They need to pick it up. Now, when they grab that baton, I'm not going to sit on the bench. If they want the county to come in and continue to provide advice and guidance, we'll do that. But they have to run the next leg of the race, which is to make the decisions. So I think that's how the process can move forward.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then, Hank, I assume that the county's or our hook in this is that we will have a monopoly on any garbage collected in La Crosse County will come to our landfill, and therefore we can set whatever rate we want, and they have no choice but to pay it?
Ooh. Let me answer those three questions. The first one, we don't have a hook in this. We have an interest in waste security in our system, if you will. And I'm going to share with you right at the end of this presentation something that's happening in waste security that is helping us tremendously, okay? What our interest in when we did this study all along was not to try and get more waste to gain monopolistic control and with a desire to increase rates in the future. Our interest in this study was to provide good information to the municipal officials so they can make good decisions for their community, because they're paying the hauler, we're not, okay? Let me come back to rates and what's happening about waste security in just a second. Another big area of the study here was funding options. And I talked to you about the tax levy and how this works, you know. Jim has a $500,000 house. I live in a trailer home. He pays so much in taxes. I pay a lot less. I have six kids. Pile of garbage out there is humongous. His pile is small. Is that equitable? You know, probably not. If you look at a businessman, he says, hey, I'm paying taxes here in the city of La Crosse, and I don't get any service. I have to go out and contract it myself. Is that equitable? But there are pros on the general tax levy. Very predictable, easy to get the money, very easy to budget. There are some very good pros on this alternative, too. But general fund is typically the way most people are doing it. Now, municipal utility billing, that's what I have. I'm up in the village of Holman, and I just got my bill, and it said $35, and I divided it out in 3 months, and I said, let's see, how many pickups? That's less than $4 a pickup for me, and that's garbage and recycling. I can't afford the gas to take it to the landfill for that. It was very definitive. I saw exactly what it was, and it was like, hey, that's really reasonable. Now, if you go and take it off the tax bill and you put it on a utility bill, people expect you to cut taxes. It don't work that way, office. And that's all discussed in the report. There's also a technique called hauler direct billing. In the city of La Crosse, you could ask Harders, Quick Cleanup Service, to send bills out to the residents. And then they would pay Harders, and he would collect the money for the service. And the city would say, we're not involved with that. And they could pass on disposal and everything to them. And we'll see what the pros and cons of that. And then I sprinkled in here this comment to you, this flat rates. Everybody pays the same. You just take the total cost, you divide it out by, okay, we got 10,000 units or houses in our community, so you pay 1/10,000th of our bill. Or you can have volume-based rates if you have a garbage bag system or you have a cart system. So lots of funding operations. And my battery seems to not be advancing, so could you advance the next slide? So while she's getting that advanced, horrible, tragic accident occurred. I don't know if you heard about it recently in the city of La Crosse. Car with an attorney and a school teacher went into the intersection, hit a garbage truck. Garbage truck driver, the teacher, and the attorney died. Went up to heaven. They're in front of the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, well, I'm going to have to ask you each a question. And so the teacher stepped up and said, I'll answer the first one. And St. Peter said, well, there was a ship that hit an iceberg and it sunk in 1912. What was the name of that ship? And the teacher said, well, that was the Titanic. Welcome. And the gates swung open and went the teacher. Garbage man walked up to St. Peter, and of course St. Peter stepped back and said, I don't know. He thought to himself, do I really want this stinky gentleman into heaven? I'm going to make my question a little harder. So he said, how many people died on that ship? And the garbage man said, 1,288. I just watched a PBS show on it, and I happen to know that. And so the gate swung open, and he went into heaven. Attorney stepped forward, St. Peter looked
Meeting
up.
Adjourned.
Attorney stepped forward, and St. Peter said, name him. So, general fund, pros and cons that we talked about. Again, all in the study, and it's not to say that putting it on the tax levy is the wrong thing to do. It's not saying the utility bill is the right thing to do. It's just that there are pros and cons that have to be evaluated by each community. Could you advance the slides for us? Municipal utility billing, same thing. Pros and cons on this one. You can advance the next slide. I'm actually going to go fairly quick here. Hauler direct billing, you can see there's an awful lot of cons with this system. There are some pros to it, but again, the study lays out the pros and cons so that you can look at those. Next slide, please. Flat rate system, this is where everybody pays basically the same, whether not dependent upon how much you produce in that, and there are pros and cons to that. Notice the big con, no incentive to recycle. If you do a great job of recycling, I don't have to under that system because you and I pay the same price, and so I'm not interested in doing that. I'll just throw it in the garbage can because I pay the same. Next slide. You have bag systems, which we talked about. They have some advantages. They have some disadvantages, but now you're getting to a volume-based system for this. Next slide. You can have carts also. And those were what we've seen, and this is what the carts look like. Next slide. You don't have to get one small one, and the way they do this in your community is if you have four children, you have a lot of garbage, you sign up for the large cart, you pay a higher price to have that cart and that service on a weekly, monthly type basis. If you're a retired couple, you probably sign up for that small cart on the other side, and you pay less to have that cart because you're producing less garbage. And so now you have an incentive to recycle more, and it's more fair amongst the people doing it. Next slide. There are some modified systems where you can do carts and bags together, because one of the common questions is, what if I can't get it all in my cart? You can then buy bags, put them next to the cart, and they will pick them up. So a lot of modifications here. Next slide. Governance. We actually covered this, and we talked about the collaboration. There's lots of laws on our books that allow, you know, municipalities to work together and do this. There were a lot of case studies. But the bottom line, this requires leadership. And so right now we're at this critical stage where the city of Onalaska and the city of La Crosse, they have the study in their hands. They need to work together. They need to look at this and see if they can gain this economy of scale and handle this. Next slide. We could certainly continue as is, and there are some good things to do that. It's a known system. It's not really broken, and people are comfortable with it, and there are some cons to it because of the lack of coordination and a lot of duplication of effort. Next slide. We could have the multiple governmental systems. That does not necessarily mean the county has to be involved. Onalaska and the city of La Crosse can do this together. There are some other rural communities. They can go together. There are some other communities that they might see La Crosse and them putting this together and say, can we join in? Can we be part of what you're doing? Absolutely. Next slide. You don't have to do this just for garbage. You can do it for garbage and recycling. You can do it only for recycling. You can separate out the recycling from your garbage. If you feel you have a contractor in your area that does a better job at recycling, nothing prohibits you from issuing a garbage contract and a recycling contract for that. So again, pros and cons to those two types. Next slide. So we talked about the alternatives, and we kind of bring the study together by saying the study clearly identified that there is money to be saved going forward. It clearly identified that there are ways we can improve customer service, and the study clearly identified there are things we can do to enhance sustainability in our community and in our county. It showed us all of those things. Next slide. Where the money savings, of course, are is in is efficiencies in the systems. It's in collaboration. It's in continuing to use the private sector because they are efficient in these areas. They are very interested in some of these systems because they see the benefits to their companies. And the other potential savings here is that our payments are going to be more fair. We're not going to, citizens won't be subsidized by businesses and have a lack of incentive for recycling. And the economy is a scale, of course. Next slide. So what's next? They need to take a leadership role. Based on the phone calls I had this week, I think it's starting to happen. And so one of the things we can do as a county board, I think, is nurture them. Urge the city of Onalaska and La Crosse to work together and to support them in their efforts to collaborate here. The suggestion by the Sustainability Commission is the one that I think everybody's talking about. This is the way we need to go. So I think that's good. I think the Sustainability Commission, the business community all need to keep themselves involved in this. And then we've indicated to both of the directors of public works, we're not just going to take this study and throw it at them. As they move forward, if they got questions about the study, if they need help from us, we'll do that, but it's their decision-making process. We'll be their technical expert on the material in the study, but they have to make the decisions as they go forward. So that's the end of the presentation. What I wanted to tell you at the end of this presentation is something really exciting happening in 2011. Back in when I started with our system, waste security was the top issue. Steve O'Malley said, this is your top priority. You got to address waste security for our system. And I was all ready to be a policeman, and he said, no, I want incentives. I think we should do this by incentives. And so we followed his direction. And we looked at incentives, and we worked with the policy board, and we worked with the public works, and we revised our hauler rebate program. Our two largest haulers, customers to the landfill, which were not part of that program, have signed up. That's very significant. One of them is Harder's, which has a transfer station, and that means their waste will be coming to us. That's 5,000 tons more per year we're hoping to see. That is roughly about $300,000 worth of revenue. That's very significant. Something really interesting is happening that we didn't expect. We give the hauler a 7 or 9% rebate, okay? And it's not that the municipality and the hauler get the rebate. It's whoever pays the disposal bill. When the city of Onalaska or the city of La Crosse was paying the disposal bill, they were eligible for a 1% if they showed all their waste was coming to us. The hauler under this new rebate program, for example, Harder's, is eligible for a 7% for 1 year. He's turning around, he's talking to the two cities saying, I'll share my rebate with you, I'll give you half. So suddenly the cities are going to have a rebate that's tripled. So the incentive program that's been created here not only secured our waste in this agreement, but the benefit was that that money didn't stop at the hauler. It has flowed to the community. Now, how significant is that? The city of La Crosse's rebate in a year at 1% was about $10,000. At 3.5%, it'll be $35,000. That's more than their share of this study. Very significant thing. Now, it's being talked about. It hasn't been finalized. The cities haven't accepted it. I don't want to take their thunder away from it. But we are on the verge of some very important things. And the reason I wanted to share that with you is when you look at this study, the solid waste evaluation, I don't want you to say, oh, that's another study we did. I wonder if anything's going to happen with this. I think something will happen with this. And I think, like the waste security and hauler rebates, I think this study is going to lead to things if you'll help us support it and urge the communities to do something. That's my conclusion.
Mr. Ebert, did you get all your questions answered? I'm not sure if Hank came back or not.
I think close enough. In other words, so there you would not insist that there's contracts with in Onalaska and La Crosse that says all the trash has to come to La Crosse? I should say you would not. Would you encourage that but not insist?
Well, currently the two municipalities are committed to us at Excel and to use our system, but they only control the residential garbage. The other two big haulers that have signed up, Hilltopper and Harders was the one that was diverting roughly 5,000 tons. Since he signed that agreement, he's already committed to us, so I didn't have to go to the municipality and ask them to do anything. The hauler committed themselves.
Okay, yeah, thank you. And it seems my other question is between La Crosse and Onalaska is probably, what, 65% of the population, or maybe even a little better than that? Is that going to be too big of a group to allow competition to stay out? And I know you tried to say, well, we'll divide it out, but that normally doesn't work as well as or as simple as that a contract for recycling goes to this guy and something else. Because we have a tendency to try to go, bigger is better. I'm just wondering if that's too large of a scale to let other people still thrive in the outer county.
It's not. Right now, Harders is doing both communities. So, that wouldn't be a problem. Now, if the two cities get together, would they want to divide it and have the same things? I don't know. That's up to them. But this is not too big of an area. There are municipalities 10 times the size of this area that one hauler is handling.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm talking about, is it too big of an area? So if one of them gets that contract, there won't be enough for the other folks. And getting back to Mr. Fian, if we take care of that, because if we lose the competition, we're screwed.
Well, right now, Harders has the contract, and the competition is surviving, even though Harders has the city of Onalaska and the city of La Crosse.
Okay, thank you, sir.
So they're doing good.
John Menninger.
Just a couple of random thoughts. First, about this whole issue. This is one of those issues that I'm convinced that the public is way ahead of the elected officials. And that's true on a lot of issues, but this is one that the public is ready for this now, and it'll take the elected officials probably 10 years to get there. And that's just the way it is. This idea of competition, though, we're all in favor of competition, okay? But if you read today's La Crosse Tribune, in 1961, there were 71 grocery stores in the city of La Crosse. Now there's two. And we got competition, I guess. I don't want to talk about a couple of small ones here and there. Basically, we have two, Festival and Quillen's. We don't have 79 mom-and-pop grocery stores anymore. We also don't have all those service stations. We have basically one. And I know there's a buy-ins around, but basically we have one place to get gas. Competition did that, all right? So it got us down to a single source. Now, that's fine, too. But in the public sector, you don't want to say that we can't give it to one contractor because of the low bid. We want to give it to the low bid, which means there's no competition today. But if you rebid the contract every 5 years, you have competition. So if one company has all the garbage business in La Crosse, recycling garbage, but it's bid every 5 years, you have a competitive situation where somebody can come in and compete. So saying that we have to put Harders over here and Hilltop over here and somehow we're going to manipulate that is not competition. And then finally, I wasn't aware of this last thing. I don't think there's any news media here. But that sounds that we're going to send, Hardee's is going to send money to La Crosse on Alaska is way too cushy. That doesn't pass the smell test to me. Nobody gives money for nothing. So I that one troubles me. Here county, here's City of La Crosse, here's 75,000, here on Alaska, here's 75,000. We're really good guys, and now give us the contract. That one troubles me, and I'm going to look into that a little bit more. I'm not sure that's a good deal.
Terry Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that as we enter the next phase of this process, that I would strongly encourage us as the county, as the initiator of this, to now more actively engage other municipalities. I understand the rationale for the study being concentrated on Alaska and the city of La Crosse, the city of Onalaska, the city of La Crosse. I went along with that, and I think that there's good rationale for that. But, you know, just as Supervisor Mettinger said that the electorate is ahead of us on this issue, there are several municipalities who are way ahead of those two cities on this. And I think the longer we exclude them from this process, which I think it is increasingly feeling like to other municipalities, I think the more difficult it becomes to involve them in the process when we do want them to become engaged. And I think that they have wisdom. I think we need their buy-in. I would strongly encourage us to now proactively involve them in the process in whatever ways we can, because I hope it doesn't take 10 years. But if it takes 10 years, we need to have them involved in the process starting now. And just a very quirky, quick aside, if we are looking at any point in the future to new equipment, I hope that part of what we're looking at, just to consider, I'm not advocating for it, but to look at and to study, is the addition of other kinds of equipment that might be added to those vehicles. I think there's growing information about the value of putting, for example, a snowplow on the front of a garbage truck, or other kinds of uses for that equipment for emergencies, for other municipal functions. So if we can be looking at that also. And I think there are some examples from really snowbound communities like Buffalo, New York, and communities in Colorado and stuff that do that and have seen some significant savings when they have multi-purpose vehicles. So just a quirky aside to add to your list of things to look at.
Maybe I'm missing this one. When you say for emergencies, you're not talking like ambulance.
Why, yes, I am. We'll be cross-training our garbage collectors as emergency responders.
I think
also.
I'm a little slow tonight.
No. No, like snow emergency.
Oh, snow emergency. Okay. That visualization was not a good one for me. Jim Burns, did I see your hand up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, Hank, per our county ordinance, this states that all residential garbage collected in La Crosse County needs to stay in our waste stream, correct? It's only residential garbage, and that's in our ordinance.
If we have certain communities that have signed up with us an original agreement with Xcel, and they are obligated in that agreement to bring their garbage to Xcel. We have other communities have signed up in the municipal rebate agreement, which in that agreement it says that all the waste they have under their control has to come to us.
Are there any municipalities in the county where the residential garbage does not go into our waste stream?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so it's really only the commercial grade types of garbage that may not, it's a leakage, may not go into our waste stream.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you.
Something that I've heard you say a couple of times tonight, and I've heard Dale Hexum say it too, is addressing the so-called inequity of the business people paying for their own and the residents getting service free service included in their tax bill. This is something that the whole situation is inequitable in relation to property taxes, use of city facilities, etc., etc. And it troubles me a bit to hear that being used just purely in the context of relationship with garbage. And I would hope that we cannot, that we don't stir up a divisiveness between our business community and the residents who are bearing a high percentage of the tax burden for the use of the streets, for the use of many other of the services that are being used by everybody that's coming into the city. So it's just something that tonight is when it really became clearer to me as I heard this presentation for, what, the third, fourth time, which is good. But I've heard Dale say it too, and I think we have to be a little bit careful about that. Thank you.
Jill Billings, did I see your hand up?
Yes, I just wanted clarification on the incentives. So just to make sure that I understand this correctly, Harder is offered 7% incentive to bring garbage to our facility, but Onalaska and La Crosse, City of La Crosse, get 1%?
No, let me clarify that for you. Prior to 2010, we had four incentive programs. The first one was a municipal rebate. If you're a municipality and you're paying the disposal bill with the county or the Excel bill, we offer you a 1% rebate on your bill in return for saying that you're going to direct all your waste that you have under your control to us. Okay? And the key is always going to be who's paying the bill. So that's a municipal rebate. That hasn't changed. It's been around for a number of years. We have a business rebate. If you're a business, like Torrance Foundry, for example, and you have a hauler that's hauling the material, but you're paying the disposal bill at our site, you're eligible for a 5% rebate from us. But again, you have to sign an agreement that says, you know, all the waste you produce will come to either Excel or to our landfill, that you won't bring us the worst stuff and take the better stuff outside the county, okay? So again, there's a business rebate. That rebate hasn't changed. Prior to 2010, we also had a hauler rebate. And in the hauler rebate, we gave 5% roughly to the haulers. But we had very onerous conditions. They had to sign the agreement for 10 years, and they had contracts that were 3 or 4 years, and they said, we can't sign that. We had very onerous conditions that you had to wait a full year before you got your rebate, and it was always a year behind. And they said, with our customers, this doesn't work. And then we had very onerous conditions in it that said, you can use this money to purchase equipment, but we have to approve this, and you can't buy this type of truck, and you got to do this, and you get 80% of this if you put in a special requirement after 1 year saying that you want the money. Just too confusing. So we went through a process, policy board and our oversight committee. We simplified it and said, here's the deal for a hauler. If you sign up for 1 year saying you're going to bring all your waste to either our Excel or landfill, we'll give you a 7% rebate. If you sign up for 3 years, we'll give you a 9% rebate. But again, all the waste you're collecting in our service area, all of La Crosse County and Buffalo, Trempealeau, Houston, Wabasha counties, you're picking up waste in those areas, you have to bring it to us. Now, we had 5 or 6 haulers that signed up, but our two biggest haulers had not signed up to that agreement. They have now signed that up. That has given us greater waste security. So there were 3 rebate programs. The hauler rebate got revised. What happened is that because that rebate went from 5 to 7 to 9%, that that's significant money. The haulers started looking at that, saying, we can use this to our competitive advantage by sharing this rebate with our customers. So they have been approaching their customers saying that you're paying the bill right now. If you allow us to pay the bill, we'll get the higher rebate and we'll share that money back with you. You're right. Dale Hexum was not real comfortable with this. And so, you know, he might say, I don't like this. I'm going to have a municipal rebate at 1%, and the hauler can keep his money. Just give me a better rate. Okay. Now, I said three rebates, and I said there were four incentive programs. The fourth incentive program is that for any hauler that comes to us and wants to buy some equipment, containers and other things, we give them a 10-year interest-free loan for that equipment. But they sign an agreement that any garbage that they're collecting with that equipment and trash comes to us again. And so that's the fourth incentive program that hasn't been changed. And we've got about $1 million worth of equipment out there. All the payments have been made. And that's been very effective in securing that waste for us.
Okay, but my understanding was that we were doing okay with waste. We had enough waste to supply to Excel, so we were not penalized. Is that wrong?
Well, if you remember some of the discussions we had with Excel, we fell below the 73,000, and we've had a couple years here when we've been below that, and we would have paid penalties. Fortunately, in 2009, we were able to negotiate a deal with them that because they had to close down some things, we got them to excuse us from the penalties. In 2010, because the economy was still hitting us, we thought we were going to be below 73,000. And because there was another shutdown and other things, we again negotiated an exception to that. And we're gonna make the 73,000 this year. But what we're finding is there is waste. There's less waste coming to Excel, and that will be a future issue. That is an issue right now that Leon on the policy board is struggling with, because we will have to face that over the next 5 or so years. The other issue I've got is that 5,000 tons of garbage, I'm not going to hire additional people at the landfill to handle that 5,000 tons in a year. So I've got no administrative costs for handling this or anything else. I'm going to pay a little bit more to my contractor. It enhances my economy of scale, and it makes the department, it's going to make us more revenue because of the incremental costs involved. That's why we're after that.
Okay. Then my second point, it kind of piggybacks on what Supervisor Johnson said with getting other municipalities, bringing them along. I think although there are some that are ahead of us, there are some that are not. And when there are people out in the outer county areas that are still using burn barrels, that's a huge concern. Talk about carbon footprint, and that's a public health issue. So I hope we can bring those people along, too.
Did I miss anybody? Any more hands? Bill Feehan.
My first question regards the impact of increased recycling on that contract with Xcel Energy. I think you might have alluded to that in one of your last responses. But based on the study, we could expect 3 to 4 times as much garbage that would be recycled. I think the numbers were 10 and 12 pounds per person in the on Alaska and La Crosse, and 39 pounds in the other city that was in the study. So that has the potential to make a huge impact on the amount of garbage that we have available for our contract with Xcel Energy. Was that what you were mentioning just a second ago?
Yes.
And another concern I have about this is, one thing I do want to say is I want to commend Administrator O'Malley on the use of incentives to get the behaviors that we want from people. I think there's a lot of evidence that shows that that's a superior way of dealing with the problem as opposed to using punishments or some kind of penalty. So I commend him on that. The last question that I have regards the potential for the need for a facility at the county to handle this increased volume of recyclable materials, or would that be something? There's going to have to be a substantial capital investment. I think you mentioned another community had spent $10 million on that type of facility. So at, you know, how do we get around this? Somebody's got to make a $10 million investment, let's say. It's either the haulers or it's the county. And that is going to be an increase in costs. We have some nice savings. You mentioned workers' compensation was one of the savings. But where are we at in our thinking as a county government about building that facility?
Let me take that. Let me just take a stab at that and give Hank just a bit of a break. The $10 million example was of a much larger set of municipalities, three very large counties. We haven't gotten to the point of actually costing out what would happen. Again, this will be driven by the municipalities talking about it could be something they fund. It could be something that we're involved in. It depends more on the decision-making of the two communities. Part of trying to get ahead of this is to try to deal with the issue that we as a community, specifically La Crosse County, are committed through 2023 to the debt service on the Xcel Energy smokestack. So one of the reasons that we want to control waste long-term and get people to live up to their agreements through incentives is that we as taxpayers are on the hook if we don't have a revenue stream enough to make that that debt payment. So there are a lot of moving parts to this, where we've used blended rates to try to lower what our tipping fees are, where we've used incentives to get the haulers to recognize it's in their best interest to bring us waste, and that hopefully even if we take more out of the waste stream through recycling, through any number of these ideas, that we're still able to moderate the amount of tonnage that we're bringing to Xcel. So they're just a whole set of moving parts. But I'm not expecting that we're going to bring you a proposal that says, oh, we're automatically in the single stream business. Now we've got to fund that. It may be one of the options, but that's a couple more steps down the line, depending on what the two cities do, because they are the largest share of our waste.
So based on the information, as I see it in the report here, are we anticipating that if we go to a single stream system that we're going to see three or four times as much recycling? And if we do, how do we address that with our contract situation with Xcel? I'm not clear on that.
I've been having discussions with Xcel about that because they were a partner in the study. They kicked in $5,000, and obviously that was their interest. There are some untapped areas outside of our service area that we could bring more garbage into our system. Now, that would be a policy issue that, you know, we'd have to bring through policy board, oversight committee, and to you as to whether you wanted to expand our area into other communities. So that would be an easy change. The other change we're also looking at is that at Xcel, it's not how many tons of garbage we bring to them. It's how much of that they can process to produce energy. So we've been starting to look at how many tons are they really converting into energy, and that's a more meaningful number than just that we're bringing in 73,000 tons. If you bring in 73,000 tons and half of it is junk and it ends up going to the landfill, or if you bring in 60,000 tons and 80% of it is processable and goes to energy, that's a better situation. So we're starting to have dialogue about that.
So what you're talking about is making our contract with them a little smarter and trying to reach a acceptable, I guess it'll be some kind of a compromise. Okay, thank you very much.
Don Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a couple of questions, but I'll have to ask you whether I can ask them or not, because it's more on the intake of medicines and things out at the landfill.
No, not tonight.
Okay, then I would like to put that on the agenda for a future item to talk about medicines and medical waste and things.
Sure, okay. And that's an important topic we should be talking about one of these days again.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? Hank, that was great as always. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, including your joke.
Thank you.
All right. That gets us to next item on the agenda is the administrator's work plan.
Okay. Included in your agenda packet, I won't go through this in as much detail as I might have if we hadn't spent as much time earlier on the solid waste assessment, though that was important. Each year I update this for a two-year period. I'll just look at the first page and see if there's some items that people want me to touch more on, and then I will also talk about the upcoming policy planning discussions and the rough schedule. We don't follow an exact schedule, but we try to bring you topics that you find of interest that will help inform your decision making. Obviously, while you're thinking about it, if you haven't looked at it in detail, budget, of course, will continue to dominate many of our discussions, as well as financial planning for contingencies and trying to keep you informed on different impacts and choices that you have within the kinds of budget constraints that we have coming up. Labor relations, obviously, will be an ongoing issue. And then, of course, continuing to look for ways to inform the public of some of the work that we're doing. I can go through each one of these if people want more information. I'm happy to and describe more, or if there are questions, and then I can go on to the second page. And then I want to go to the calendar of policy planning topics.
Terry Johnson.
I'm just going to jump down to the public relations one because I think they're very self-explanatory as a general rule. What about the website under the PR one?
Yeah, I know that there's John's not here, but I'll report back on that. I know there's been a lot of work on improving, and I know with County Board Pictures and
yeah,
some other
things.
Yeah, I just
think because it might be valuable to add that one.
Yeah, in fact, I'll add that to our monthly report to give you an update on the website improvements.
And then skipping to the community building one on the back page,
okay.
Especially since there are some other examples. I know that this is not a complete list. I was kind of surprised that Rockland wasn't listed specifically just because
sure.
It's such a big one for us.
Yeah,
and
good point. We have
2011
devoted
and
a lot
12
of staff
will be
time into fixing that, and we're making progress on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jill Billings.
I hate to add something because I think this is ambitious and good, but under community building, I also, maybe with Diversity Council, I would like to add Family Policy Board or the Community Collaboration through Human Services. I know the Family Policy Board really appreciated the presentation on budget and impacts in the county that you gave in December. So I would just add that as an item, too.
Sure. And again, it's not my intention to be all-inclusive, and if you direct me into something that's not on here, it just gives you some sense of where I see in a short way of viewing some of the priorities. I do, since I took the microphone back, want to just mention something else. In the last professional development, one of the things that I commit as an ICMA member is that I do on an annual basis a minimum of 40 hours of training or work experience to be able to continue to expand my skills. This year, just December, in fact, I just received it this last week, was the Housing Development Finance Professional Certification. I took my final two classes in that, so the National Development Council has recognized me as a Housing Development Finance Professional. Now, the reason that that's important is that as we continue to deal with issues like Rockland or redevelopment issues within the city where we try to help city issues, I'm a little bit better averse to being able to look at developers' performance and analyze those types of things. So long-term, it ends up helping to add my oversight and service with the economic development work group that we have. So it's an extra credential that I have, but also something that I expect to be able to apply to some of the unique challenges that we have here.
Anybody else? Audrey Conner.
Thank you. What's the La Crosse Community Theater project?
Over the years, as you know, when La Crosse Community Theater and the idea of an arts district and those types of things, both Brian Fukuda and I continue to be involved. Vicki Burke does as well. They've got an ongoing discussion from their group to look for different ways of financing the potential expansion of the community theater. So while I don't put a lot of time into that, I do attend the art group meetings where I can, and they've also asked for my expertise and input on their fundraising and grant writing committee. So again, I haven't put a lot of time into that, but if you'll recall, taking you all the way back about 7 years when we brought in ArtSpace and we looked at a number of different things that ended up morphing into really the transit center and housing on top of that. I like to believe that I had a small piece into adding some ideas and some help there. I haven't put a lot of time into it, but I'm going to continue to monitor that because I think the inner core of the community, the Arts District and some of those kinds of things continue to make La Crosse a destination, and so I try to keep a small involvement in there as well. And I know Vicki serves on that. Brian Fukuda attends those committees. So, again, without putting huge amounts of energy into each one of those, I try to involve myself in a lot of different places.
It might be better mentioned than the Arts District, including community theater, rather than just La Crosse Community Theater.
I could certainly spell that out a little bit more, but the reason I put this down specifically was I was just asked to be a volunteer on their grant committee, and so because I've got some experience in writing grants and helping look at some of that. And for those of you that don't know, they're talking about the work with LHI and the relocation and eventually a new facility, so that's some pretty exciting improvement that will enhance that whole area and be a keystone or a cornerstone to that whole arts district. So.
Dan Meyer.
Thank you. Steve, I don't see the zoning ordinance change is major.
That wouldn't be a major item that I would need to work on. This, again, guides where I put my time. Clearly, that will be a major item that the county board will be involved in through your committee and will probably be a large item that I would touch on here on your work plan. Again, I don't have to get involved in each individual thing that department or a committee would be bringing to you.
Well, there's a lot of work that's been done, and
right.
There's a lot of work going on right now.
Yeah.
I'm not just exactly sure what month it might hit, but the county board certainly is going to have to have a policy meeting on that.
Well, and that's what
that's coming up next on the calendar.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
And I did talk with Jeff Blusky about that as a potential date
for the setup.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, sir. Under financial goal and additional enhancements, financial reporting to the county board. I wonder, while not transferring the funds, but if we could get the indirect costs for our major program areas, and certainly no funds transfer, that way we can get a good idea on our program costs.
Mm-hmm. Margaret Wood.
Thank you. This might be along the same lines as Supervisor Meyer in terms of monitoring, but where do we keep track of the transportation system plans, the old north-south corridor type of thing? And what about the Wisconsin portion of the CapEx 2020 building of transmission lines? Who's looking at that?
That would primarily be through the LAPC and or Planning Resources Development Committee. That wouldn't be a role that I'd have a lot of involvement in unless you wanted me to change other priorities and work on that.
Okay. Now I just want to see who is watching out.
Yeah. Again, just to reiterate, this isn't all inclusive of everything the county works on. This is trying to get a highlight of the things that I'm going to try to make specific priorities that I work on as your administrator over the next 2 years. The county does a whole lot of other things that aren't covered on this particular two pages.
Don Meyer.
That transportation that Mark was asking about, Jeff just put out a nice memo on that,
mm-hmm.
About it. I could forward that to anybody that wants it because it kind of brings everything up to date as to where we are.
Mm-hmm. Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Malley. It's an impressive list, and I'm really impressed with it. One thing, I know you do this. I think one of your most important functions as an administrator is to hire your management team and to help coach and mentor and meet your – we have excellent – managers in the county, and I know you work really well with them. And I guess I see it in here kind of a little bit in different places where it says strategic planning and where it says talking about, I think I'm reading this correctly, mm-hmm. using department head managers and retreat, using process improvement teams, things like that. So that is, it looks like that's one of your most important priorities in terms of developing your managers and continuing to lead that way.
Yes, and that also gives me an opportunity to highlight on the third bullet there. One of the things that we're doing coincidentally this month is the management team has traditionally been myself, finance, personnel, corporation counsel, and the human services director. We're adding the IT and facilities director to that. Previously, we had also added the chair of the county board, who meets with us on a monthly basis during our internal agendas of management team. We're also asking that the first and second vice chair attends those meetings as well, with a set agenda so that the leadership of the county board is represented as we're talking about some of the mundane things that are coming up, and trying to keep the county board up to date as much as we can in the management team or the management reports that we do once a month, to keep the whole county board up to date, but also as things are coming through the cycle, that we're trying to keep the three top elected officials of this board more up to date, so that we've got more than just my communication with the board chair, but we're trying to do a better job and see how that will work as we go into the new year as well. There are so many things that will be attacking our ability to continue to preserve services and fund things, so we're trying to do a better job, as well as bring a little bit more gender balance to the group as well, because as you notice, there isn't much gender balance in the group of managers I just talked about. There is in the room, but not in my management team, so I'm trying to get better in the new year. So,
did I miss anybody? Okay, let's go on to the next one.
I would like to go on to the county board calendar for the year. I've produced a list before for you, and I've slated in some dates. Doesn't mean exactly each one of those will come exactly that month. We'll try to hit the targets there. One of the issues that we've got, of course, is the February meeting dates, but these are when I see a number of things coming up for you. Ralph Geary, for example, had asked that we get a report back on regional transportation in the MTU. Keith doesn't know this yet. I'd be talking to him, seeing if he's available then. So we're going to continue to try to fill these out. The boxes aren't large enough to list everything that we could put on, but there is a list of ongoing items that I suggested to you. Supervisor Ebert reminded me that he had suggested earlier that Lake Neshonnet come in and do a report, so I'm sure we can add that. Now we had another suggestion on the medical waste disposal and what's happening with that because of the changes legally, so we'll end up adding those as we go along. So I just want to keep you up to date. If there are items that you, and we'll probably do this each meeting as we always do, if there are items you want for future policy planning meetings, we want to make sure that they're useful to you and that you're getting information, not for making a decision that night most of the time, but that you're being kept up to date on things that you will be asked to make decisions on or that you'll have a role in.
Where is that assessment committee in its deliberations or investigation? Anybody know?
The solid waste assessment?
Like the countywide assessing or assessing reform?
That continues to meet. I don't know. I haven't made the last, I think the last meeting I missed, but so I don't know. We could get an update report on that.
You'll do.
Well, I know that Jeff had sent out a survey and about six or seven communities refused to answer or neglected to answer, so I made a public records request of them, and I've already gotten one response back. Apparently there was some feeling, particularly among a certain town, and I don't even know which one it was, that they don't have to answer the survey. Well, they do have to answer the public records request. So we changed the tenor of that a little bit.
Okay, so much for collaboration. Tara Johnson.
I'm just sitting here trying to think of a good incentive that we might offer in light of Supervisor Feehan's comment that we might incent them to respond to that instead of punish them for not. But I am suggesting that we add somewhere in the 2011 calendar, I don't know if it's a planning committee meeting or a separate meeting, but something about that little matter of redistricting that might come before us as a board.
No, but obviously, yeah, at some point, yeah, that is going to be coming in, whether it comes to planning or it comes to regular board meeting. We need to figure that out. Okay. We're getting pretty close to the next meeting of that committee, and the topic that we'll be talking about is setting a range of county board size. We've gotten response back from the City of La Crosse. We had asked them to do a survey and get back to us, and They said they want to stay just as they are, so we have some decisions that we need to make. I've asked Sharon Hampson to do a presentation at the next redistricting committee. She was the chair of the committee that did a study of board size 3-4 years ago, something like that. Okay, and so that'll be coming up probably within the next 2 to 4 weeks to talk about that. So we'll keep everybody obviously informed of that. We haven't said it. We'll probably be setting it within the next couple of days. All right. Anybody else have any topics on here that we need to make sure get listed somewhere? Okay. Then is that it for you, Steve?
Actually, I have just a couple more things. One is on the executive committee on next week. I want to then, in relation to the administrative work plan and policy planning, talk about, do you want to continue to do the same process you've done of a 360 evaluation of me? Should we do that every year like we've been doing? Do you want to go to every 2 years? Do you want a different format? So I'm going to ask the executive committee to give me some feedback on that. We've generally been doing it every year. I'm fine with doing that, but just get your feedback on how to proceed with that. And then I've got some issues about the meeting dates, if I could go on to that.
Pull out your calendars, please, everybody, if you brought them, and hopefully you did.
Each February, we come up with this conflict, and each time we're adjusting the dates. Wisconsin County's Legislative Conference is February 8th and 9th. So this is a reminder for those that may be interested in going to work with Margaret. Conference deadline for registration is January 24th. Otherwise, it costs more. And that, as we've done in the past, if you register late, the county doesn't pick up that late registration expense. So if you're interested in going, I think this is going to be one of the more critical legislative conferences, at least during my tenure, with the significant legislative issues that we've got, as well as budget issues. That is Tuesday the 8th and 9th. And Aging and Long-Term Care already talked about their meeting. They're going to go ahead and meet on Monday at 10 o'clock. I am hoping to get down there myself personally the night before because I think the interaction with other execs, administrators, and the lobbyists on what's coming down could be quite important, although there are times that we have not moved the policy planning meeting. It does conflict with a number of the other committees on 8th and 9th, so we'll be talking about that with each of the committees. So the first question while you're thinking about that is, should we move the policy planning meeting from Monday night the 7th to another time? The two topics that we have are the criminal justice public relations update because of the upcoming town hall meeting that will be sponsored, and an update on and the wording cutoff, the obesity grant and safe streets program was our agenda topics for February policy planning. So I'm asking if you'd want to move that ahead 1 week, or to postpone the topic to March, or just insist that we have a policy planning that night anyway.
Let me start with this question of the board. How many people think you that you may be going to the legislative conference this year? Okay, so quite a few. We definitely don't want to do our planning meeting that regular night then with that many people gone. Ray Ebert?
Is this the one that used to be on, like, Friday and Saturday or something?
No, it's always conflicted with our February meetings. It's where I've got a copy of the conference, but this is where the legislative leadership addressed the whole group. There's a, in fact, both of the assembly leaders, minority and majority, will be addressing the group. I don't believe the governor will be there, but I know that that others from budget projections from Andrew Rashofsky, on public affairs, Todd Berry, the Wisconsin State budget process. This is some pretty critical items that are coming
up. This isn't the one that we've gone down to and go to meet our legislators and none of them are there. This is a...
No, that's different.
Oh, okay. Because that was a real...
Well, actually, it does include time to go visit legislators, but this is the one where we're going to have direct input on the listening for what people are expecting with the state budget items.
Thank you. I just wanted to... So that is a separate one from that other one. Thank you.
Jill Billings?
Well, maybe a better question to ask might be, who is leaving on Tuesday morning and who's going to be here on Monday night?
I think that there are some activities that Monday night, though, aren't there?
Not officially,
not?
No.
Not officially? Oh, okay. And what time does it start on Tuesday morning?
9? 9 o'clock, right.
Okay, so you'd have to leave here around 6:30, 7 o'clock?
Okay. And we've done that before, and in fact, many years where it hasn't been as critical, we've done that. But I'm suggesting that I'd like to get there the night before because of some of the connections with what I'm expecting is happening in budget. But
Sharon Hampson?
I can be excused. I mean,
thanks. How about if we do the planning meeting on the 14th, and then we have the regular county board meeting that same week on the Thursday? I don't care what day it is. I don't have a Valentine.
Well, maybe the county is our Valentine.
Yeah, well, okay. I look at it that we have two main options. Monday the 31st would not work, actually, because that's planning, resource, and development. They would be in this room, so that won't work. So that means either later in the week of the 7th. Problems there. I always have my staff keep local municipality meetings on my calendar. Wednesday won't work. Greenfield and Holland and Washington meet. Thursday won't work. Holman and City of La Crosse meet. So we would be missing people. Pardon? Well, yeah, Tuesday's already out. So that does kind of get us to probably Monday the 14th, Valentine's Day. Tuesday the 15th is West Salem, so Mr. Monti would miss that. 16th is election night. We could not do it election night. This room will be used for election purposes.
Monday the 21st, since we're not going to be voting on anything on policy planning.
Could do Monday the 21st, the week after regular county board meeting. How many people want to do Monday the 14th? Let's see your hands. How many people want to do Monday the 21st? How many want to just skip February and push it to March? Okay. I think that I saw more hands for the 21st, so let's do it on the 21st.
No.
Yeah, not these days. So planning will be Monday, February 21st, 6 p.m. Please put that on your calendars. And then again, remember what I had said last meeting. Thursday, March 3rd is the town hall meeting that will be held in the jail. You will be invited as well. Members of the public will have up to about 100 people who are going to be able to attend that. It will be shown live, prime time, on Channel 19 that night. So please put them. It'll start at 6 o'clock. No, it is a town hall meeting. The Criminal Justice Management Council wanted to get the public better educated about what we do in La Crosse, how we do it, why we do it. So it'll be moderated by Scott Hackworth. The two main guest presenters will be the sheriff and Judge Pascal. And then members of the committee will be there also. Jane Claycamp will be there to answer questions of the public. And it'll be email questions come in, members, people who are there, and so forth. The Tribune and Channel 19 are both doing lead-up stories, multiple stories, like every night of that week leading up to it. So they've been great to deal with. They're putting on a pretty big production for this, so we're pretty excited about it and just really appreciative of how cooperative the sheriff has been to say that he'll accommodate that. So we've been really pleased about that. So, again, please put that on your calendar. That's something that I don't think you want to miss.
And we'll remind you of that a little bit more as we get closer, as well as just, a reminder, if you want to do WCA legislative, talk to Margaret. She'll help you get the wherewithal. If you want copies of the agenda of WCA legislative, we can get you copies of that as well. But Margaret in County Board Chair's office can help make sure that you're all coordinated with that. We'll also try to do some carpooling and other things for those of you that are going.
All right. Is that it for you then,
yes.
Mr. O'Malley? All right, thank you. Cards and correspondence over there on the board, as always. Committee meetings, none during recess, so that gets us to suggestions for future agenda topics. Anything people think that we should be talking about either at one of these meetings or regular county board meetings? Seeing none, any announcements of any sort that we need to know about? I guess that gets us to Jerry Sobranek. Anything brilliant for us tonight, Jerry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. In regards to hard work, which we all know a lot about, when it comes to hard work, it spotlights the character of people. So in regards to hard work, some people turn up their sleeves, some people turn up their noses, and some people don't turn up at all.
Motion to adjourn by Jerry Sobranek, second by Bill Brockmiller. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.